Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll continue with the appearance of God to Solomon as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The Lord appeared to Solomon, and he said unto him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. The place where man might meet God, and of course how complete that is with Jesus Christ. He is the place where we meet God. It is in Christ that God and man are brought together. In the book of Job, as his friends were trying to help Job cope with his problems, his friends said to him, "Look, man, just get right with God and everything will be okay." And Job said, "Thanks a lot, pal. You say get right with God. How can a man justify himself before God? I look at the vastness of the heavens that God has created. And I realize how vast and infinite God is. And who am I that I could come before the God, the creator of the universe, to plead my case?" And beside that, he said, not only is the gap too big, the eternal, infinite God, and here little me on this planet Earth, but he said, there is no daysman between us who can put his hand on us both. He saw that the distance between God and man was so great that there was no way a finite man could touch the infinite God apart from a mediator, a daysman, someone who could stand between and touch them both. And that which Job envisioned as a necessity became the reality in Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, thus could touch God, and yet he humbled himself and came in the form of man so he can touch me. And so Jesus, our great high priest, who touches God, who touches me, and through him I meet God. And through his sacrifice, my sins are put away so that I can stand before the holy, righteous God. I've chosen this place, God said, the house of sacrifice. Now, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Notice, the locusts obey the command of God. If I command the locusts to devour this land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and God said he sends the pestilences. Now, these are the things that Solomon had prayed about. Lord, if the people turn away and forsake you, and you send pestilence, or if you send the famine, or if you hold the heavens that it does not rain, then if your people will call upon you, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and, you know, answer their prayers. So God is taking the prayer of Solomon and going down the prayer of Solomon point by point, taking the issues that Solomon brought up in his prayer. God declared, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So this verse that we have heard quoted so many times, is God's word to Solomon in response to Solomon's prayer. If my people, in the time of calamity, in the time of national calamity, in the time of drought, in the time of pestilence, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Solomon prayed, Lord, let your eyes always be open unto this place. And God answers, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. Verse 40 of the previous chapter, now my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, let your ears be attent. So God says, yes, I will. And one by one, the petitions that Solomon made, God says, I will grant. My eyes will be open, my ears will be attent to the prayers made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So God has promised his heart, his eyes perpetually on this place. But as for you, if you will just walk before me as David your father walked, and you do all that I have commanded you, and if you observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom according as I have made a covenant with David your father, when I said, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But, warning, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given to them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. So God made glorious promises to Solomon, conditioned upon Solomon walking in the ways of God as David his father walked. God also warned of impending judgments should he fail to walk in the ways of the Lord. If you turn away, verse 19, and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you begin to worship and serve other gods. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning with verse 14. Moses is writing the commandments concerning the future. When you come into the land which Jehovah your God gives to you, and you possess it, and you're dwelling therein, and you shall say, I will set a king over me like all of the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among your brothers shalt thou set to be king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But, and this is their commandments now for the king. Number one, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the intent that they should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. That was the commandment of God concerning the king, not to multiply horses or to return to Egypt to do horse trading, not to multiply wives, and God said, lest they turn his heart away from the Lord. And third, he's not to multiply gold and silver unto himself. Now, in the later years, Solomon, in strengthening the army, decided that the chariots and horsemen, cavalry units, were the strongest units for battle. And so in his army, he had 1,200 chariots. He had 12,000 men in the cavalry unit. He had sent down to Egypt to buy horses. The thing that God said the kings would not and should not do, he did. Solomon also loved many strange women. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. Now God said, lest they turn their heart of the king away from me. In the later years of Solomon, under the influence of these wives that he had taken from the various nations, he had married the daughter of the Pharaoh to align Egypt with Israel. He had married a princess from the Hittites, from the Amorites, from the different ethnic and national groups around. He would marry the princesses in order to form an alliance with those nations and kings. So 700 wives, princesses, that is, these were political kind of marriages. These wives began to bemoan the fact that they could not worship their gods. And so over on the side of the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley from the city of David, from Ophel, he began to build these temples for the gods that his wives worshipped in order that they might have places of the worshiping of their gods. And then Solomon himself began to worship in these temples that he had built for his wives, and his heart was turned away from the Lord. Again, let me say, when God warns you, pay attention. He doesn't warn us needlessly. God knows our nature, and he knows the characteristics, and he knows what will happen if we do certain things. And a lot of times we think we can beat the game. A lot of times we feel, well, that doesn't apply to me. I can understand why God would tell others, but I can manage, I can handle, I've got it wired. And we somehow think that we are exempt from the commandments of God, that they apply to others, but not to me. I know how to beat it, I've got it figured, I can win. Not so. Solomon, I am certain, as God was speaking to him here and warning him here, thought, well, you know, no problem, God. I would never turn from your commandments. I would never leave from following you. I will keep your judgments and all. And I'm certain that in his heart he felt that kind of total commitment to God. But as the years went by, slowly he began to turn away. And then he began to multiply gold and silver unto himself. 666 talents of silver annually were brought. He built navies to travel the world to bring back gold and silver and precious stones and all, until silver became as common as rocks in Jerusalem. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, that's pretty common. It's about the rockiest place you've ever seen. The very things that God commanded kings not to do are the very things that Solomon did. Tragic, but true. And the very thing that God said would happen did happen. The people following after Solomon, he had set a pattern that just was exacerbated as the years went by, until finally the nation had turned their backs upon God. And the worship of Baal and Molech and Mammon became very common within Judah, as the hearts of the people were turned away from the Lord. And ultimately Nebuchadnezzar came And because God's mercy endures forever, the first time he came, he only took some of the treasure out of the temple. But then when the Jews rebelled against him, he came back again, took captives and more treasure. And because there was another rebellion, he came back and he leveled the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And it was removed out of God's sight. To the present day, the site of Solomon's temple is unknown. The place has been removed out of God's sight. There is only one stone on the Temple Mount alongside of a path that the archaeologists believe dates back to the Solomon's temple, but it's the only remnant that they know of that goes back to that period of time. What has happened to the rest of it is just not known. It was removed out of God's sight, just like he said. God is faithful to keep his word. The problem is that man is not faithful to keep his word. Man fails, and so often fails, but God is true. And when God says he will bless you, he will bless you. He will keep his promise. But if God warns you of the perils of turning away from him and what will happen, you can be sure that if you turn away from God, he will keep his word and those calamities will befall you. God is faithful. God will keep his word for good or for evil. He'll keep his word. Now, the interesting thing to me is that when the calamities come, they were then going to ask, why has God done this? And that is the common cry when God brings judgment upon a nation or upon a person, upon an individual. As God is dealing with us for our failures, for our disobedience, and he allows calamity to come, what's the first thing we say? Why did God do this to me? Why would God allow this to happen to me? We want to blame God for our problems that really result from our own disobedience. Several years ago, when I was pastoring in Tucson, Arizona, a lady started attending the church whose husband was an Air Force officer. And I decided to make a pastoral call on the house to meet her husband. And so when I knocked on the door, this fellow answered and I introduced myself. I knew his name and I said, I'm Chuck Smith. I'm the pastor of the church over here. Your wife has been attending. He ordered me off of his porch, out of his yard, and he was yelling. And I learned the story. He told me, you can't tell me that God is a God of love. I knew that he had a little daughter that was crippled by polio. But in his whole frustration, he said, we just got the report from the doctors who have taken the test on our second little daughter, and she has polio. Don't tell me that God is a God of love. Out of here. I want nothing to do with God or with you. Found out that his father was a Presbyterian minister. I said to him, let me just ask you one question. Have you been serving God? And that just lit a fuse, and he began to curse and tell me, no, of course not, and just... And I said, then why do you feel that God owes you anything? You see, you turn your back on God, you forsake God, and then when calamity comes, who do you want to blame? You want to blame God. So wrong. We need to look at ourselves. Therefore, let a man examine himself, for if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged of God. But it's so typical of human nature to just, you know, go our own careless way, to walk after the flesh, and then say, don't care what God says, you know, and go after your fleshly practices. And then when you come up with AIDS, say, why, God, would you allow me to have this, you know? You're reaping the consequences of your own forsaking God. So God answered and responded to the prayer of Solomon with warnings, with promises, glorious promises, but also with warnings.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the energy and fame of Solomon. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you increase in your understanding and knowledge of Him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And may you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened, and may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His word, in Jesus' name.
I just got the Word for Today Bible, and I'm really enjoying the commentaries by Pastor Chuck. Listen to this one from the book of Joshua.
You see, God has already gone before me. God is already there tomorrow. Joshua is telling them, tomorrow God is going to do wonders in your eyes. And that's the thing that I need to hold in my mind.
Yeah, that's really good. I have one too from the book of Nehemiah.
So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and then they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what expository teaching is all about. That's what we have devoted our ministry to, the study of God's Word.
The Word for Today Bible is available in leather and paperback editions with more commentaries by Pastor Chuck, simply teaching the Word of God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. You can read a preview of The Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.